Revive thy work, O Lord.
Evening, and we do give everyone a warm welcome in their service tonight. And we're reading from Hebrews chapter 9. And while we're looking it up, just a few announcements this evening. I want us to pray for Brother Nigel and the family and his wee boy Luke, just not feeling too well. And my own wee boy, I want to thank everyone for the prayers. He's a lot better this evening. This morning we thought maybe we'd have to take him again to the hospital, but he's a lot better tonight. We thank the Lord, and I want to thank everyone for the prayers. We want to pray for Brother Nigel and his whole family and wee Luke, and also for Brother Ian, Sister Jenny and the family. They're well, but because of these different rules we have now, they have to isolate. And please remember Sister Lydia and Colin at this time, as the wee ones due to come. I haven't heard any word yet, but we just pray the Lord to be with them and bless them. And any others listening in tonight maybe that's not well and needs God's touch, we want to pray that the Lord will indeed bless and touch each one this evening. Let us read chapter 9, verse We'll read verse 12 and verse 23 and 24 of chapter 9. And I think one of the brothers prayed this verse 24 in the prayer this morning. And I wanted to keep with the theme of the blood again this evening. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 23 and 24. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Let us bow this evening, and with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you have a need tonight, just lift your hand up before the Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. And maybe whoever's watching in this evening, if you have a need, just give a sign up and we're going to pray for you as well tonight. Father in heaven, we bow before you in the lovely name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have this great privilege to come from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Father, we plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb tonight. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Lord, I pray you'll cover everyone in this building tonight with your precious blood. And I pray for those tuned in tonight and those that are sick tonight, that you'll cover them with your precious blood. Bless the hand raised in this assembly this evening. Meet every individual need in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, pray for Brother Nigel and his whole family, all his girls, and we look this evening, that thou indeed would bless them and touch them and minister unto them in healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray for Brother Ian, Sister Jenny, and all the girls, that you'll bless them and be with them this evening. We think especially of Sister Lydia and Colin. We ask for your strength at this time and your blessing, and that all will be well in Jesus' precious name. For any others this evening that need the touch of God, may the hand of the Lord touch them and bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, speak to us from your own word. Encourage your people, save the lost, heal the sick, we pray, and strengthen your own people. And Lord, I do take the Holy Spirit to help me. I need your help, Lord, and I take it by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. You know, there's so much in the book of Hebrews. When you study the book of Hebrews, and I want to take a text from the book of Hebrews tonight, and this book of Hebrews has several vital contrasts in it. There is the contrast of Moses and Jesus, of Aaron, the high priest, and Jesus, the new high priest, and the contrast of the blood of bulls and goats and the blood of Christ. We saw this morning, we looked at the poppy, and I tried just to bring someone out about the poppy, and we saw that the black represents death and sin, and the red leaf represents the blood of Christ. And this evening I want to continue on the theme of the blood of Christ tonight. Now we also know in Hebrews it is only the contrast of bloods, because there's a difference in animals' blood and Christ's blood. And there's the two tabernacles. There's a tabernacle that was reared up by hands in the wilderness. And then there is the tabernacle that no hand touched in heaven. Into the later, Jesus enters into the tabernacle in heaven. And he sits down there at the right hand of the Majesty in high. And he ever liveth to make intercession for his saints. His home is the holiest of holies. And we know in the earthly tabernacle, there was the outer court, the inner court, and the holy of holies. And you know in the earthly tabernacle and the holiest of holies, the Shekinah glory would come down there into the holiest of holies. And we know that the presence of God, it's where Jesus Christ is holy. The Lord is holy. This tells us of the tabernacle and all the vessels are cleansed. And you can read Hebrews if you go to verse 21. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood, chapter 9 of Hebrews, with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry and almost all things. Verse 22 was what was prayed. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. It's so important, the blood. So important that without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sins. Notice this starting thing, but Adam's sin reached to heaven. And it talks here, when you look at verse 23, and it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. So we see there's the earthly sprinkling, but there is blood that reached heaven. Blood actually reached heaven. You know, and I remember some years ago, a man challenged me on this very subject. And the Lord gave me these scriptures. And they're very important scriptures, I believe. Because they prove that the blood of Jesus reached heaven. It reached heaven. And not only, we're going to see some things about the earthly priest and about the heavenly priest. There's a big difference. Notice the starting thing. Adam's sin is the reason the blood had to reach heaven. Adam's sin caused universal condemnation. The black, if you like, and the poppy, the sin. The separation from God. The devil wants to steal the souls of men. But Jesus Christ, through his blood shedding, wants to save man from sin. Verse 24, for Christ has not entered into the holy place that's made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. And if you were to read verse 12, which I deliberately read at the start, it also says that he entered into heaven. This is the climax of it all. Let us see the contrast of God's estimate of the blood of Christ and the blood of bulls and goats. As we come to the value of Christ's blood, there's values in blood. Then the problem of our standing in a relationship never enters our mind. If you could see the value of the blood of Christ, your problem of standing in state would never enter. Because the blood of Christ is greater than any other blood. It's atoned for you for all eternity. It's went to heaven for you. It's not just an earthly sacrifice. This blood reached heaven. And God was pleased with it. The new mediator, it's called. The new mediator. The blood of bulls and goats under the first covenant, under the Old Testament, only cleansed. That's all they done. They covered, they sanctified the flesh. But the blood of Christ cleanses our conscience. Doesn't just cover, but it cleanses our conscience. There's a difference, you know. There's a difference in covering sin and cleansing sin. There's a covering of sin and there's a removal of sin. And it says it covered sin, but Christ's blood doesn't cover sin. Christ's blood annihilates sin. Christ's blood takes away sin. Christ's blood removes sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. The devil can show me the sin, but it's gone. He's a liar. I'm not under the natural law or natural bullet, but I'm under the blood of Jesus. And it annihilates sin. It does away with sin. And God was pleased with it. And I should be pleased with it. And you should be pleased with it. Clears the conscience from dead works so that we can stand uncondemned. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, there's now no condemnation. No condemnation when you're in Christ, because you're washed by the blood of the Lamb of God. Washed and clean by the blood of the Lamb. The sins of your youth are gone. The sins of your past is gone. Nothing can condemn you no more. Christ doesn't even condemn you. But he cleanses you. And he makes you clean and he justifies you. He doesn't condemn you, he justifies you. John 3:17, everybody quotes 16, but 17 says, God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, I thank God for that tonight. In the presence of the living God, that's where we can come, because we're uncondemned. Because God accepted the blood of Jesus, and Jesus' blood was carried into the heavenly Holy of Holies, not just an earthly tabernacle made with a man's hands, but into the place that never man's hands touched, into the very heaven itself was the blood of Christ carried. And he has become by that act the mediator of a new covenant. A new covenant. We're no longer under an old covenant. We're no longer held in bondage by law. But Christ fulfilled the law. And Galatians says that. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad for that tonight? You don't have to be in favor with some man or some movement or some organization, but you're in favor with Christ tonight. The reason man needs a mediator is because he has lost his standing with God. He has no ground on which he can approach him. No works can bring you closer to God. No program can bring you closer to God. I was studying a little bit this evening on, it's a book, The Woman Rides the Beast. I think it's Steve Hunt that wrote it. But it was in there about a certain, what's called the church, and you know what I'm talking about. You see, they say it doesn't matter what Scripture says, it's what the church says. But it's not what the church says, it's what the Word of God says. It's what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that none of yourselves. You're saved by grace through faith. Natural man is really an outlaw. Before we were saved, we were all outlaws. Every one of us were outlaws. Ephesians 2:2 tells us, where in times past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the earth, the spirit that now worketh. And that word worketh means energizes. That's what it means. That now energizes in the children of disobedience. And if ever we were living in a world with there's disobedience, if we young people, and they're up slobbering, that's the way I'm going to say it, slobbering in Scotland, and slobbering in England, and slobbering all over the world about global warming, and they know no more about global warming than I'd know to go to the moon. That's the truth. It's absolute nonsense what they're talking. And then they say, save the planet, save the planet. It's like a fella asked a boy one day, you know, they're talking about recent cars, how they could make them better, you know, and not use the fuel they're using. And one of their own men turned round in live television, you know, and he asked them, well, how do you get to all these races on the planes, the jet planes? And there's nothing pollutes the air more than planes. Anybody knows that. The stuff that comes out of them, and they fly all over the world. How would they stop that? You see, man has ideas. But you see, this is what I wanted to get over you tonight. God done something that wasn't touched by man's hands. This tabernacle in heaven wasn't touched by the hands of a man. But God prepared it. God made it. And the precious blood of Jesus entered it. We're getting out of this world. And I've news for global warming. I believe in global warming. That'll shock you. Because my Bible says God's burning this earth. There's real global warming. What do you think of that global warning? I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from heaven, from God. John saw it. This world was baptized with water. God flooded it and he's going to burn it with fire. That's real global warming there, isn't it? Real fire. This earth's going to be burned with fire. It's an awful thing, but it's the Bible that's real. And I know the old devil will try to discard it all, just like he doesn't believe the earth flooded, but I believe it flooded.
And every time I see the rainbow, God says, there you are. There's my remembering you of my covenant to my people. Covenant of the rainbow, the seven-colored rainbow. God's number is seven for its perfection. Man's number is six. 666, the number of a man. But God's number seven. And we see that man today has even perverted the meaning of the rainbow when he uses six colors, not seven. That's man's number. And the Bible speaks of the day of man. And the Bible speaks of the day of the glorification of man. And we're living in the last days. We're living in the time of the glorification of man. And what man thinks he can improve the earth, I can tell you, any man that thinks he will improve on God's earth, he's brainwashed. He can't improve it. Do you know why? It's cursed. And it was cursed after the first man sinned. Because before man sinned, there never was a thorn. There never was a thistle. There was none of them things on the earth before it was cursed. But after man disobeyed God, and Adam is the man that disobeyed God. And because of one man's sin, the wrath of God came on all men. And the thorn came forth, and the thistle came forth. And that's why we're aging tonight. No matter what we do with these bodies, if the Lord doesn't take us, we're all getting older. But thank God, if the rapture takes place, we'll get a body change. And if it doesn't, he'll take us out of the graves. So it'll not matter what road it goes about it. It's a victory anyhow. Praise God. Jesus Christ is now the one and only mediator between God and man. There's no other way. The blood of bulls and goats did not take away sin. It merely covered it temporarily. But when Christ came, he redeemed all of those who had trusted the blood of the bulls and goats. He redeems them. He gives a superior offering, a superior sacrifice. He died. The redemption of the transgressors that were under the first covenant. He made a new way. God kept his covenant with Israel when he sent his son to become sin for us. And he laid upon him all the sins under the first covenant, that by accepting him as their Savior, Israel might come into the promised redemption, but they must accept him. And every man must accept him. He put away sin. Isn't that wonderful? The old covenant could never put away sin. It kept every year, repeat, repeat, repeat. Re-record, repeat. Who's ever heard that? That's what it did each year. But Christ put away sin by one appearance. By one offering. He put away sin. This is a great heart teaching of the book of Hebrews here. Under the first covenant, sin was covered. The best that Israelite had under the first covenant was a blood covering or an atonement. The word atonement means to cover. They were covered. Yes, it saved them, but the next year they had to do it again. And I told you this morning, as far as they could go was Abraham's bosom. They couldn't go to heaven. The blood hadn't reached heaven. Abraham's bosom. But when Christ offered himself on the cross, the bosom was opened. And the Old Testament saints were released. But under the new covenant, our sins are not covered. They're put away. They're remitted. Remitted. They can't be held against us anymore. Jesus is our lawyer tonight, you know. He's our mediator. He's our go-between. Amen. It's him that pleads our case, brother. When the devil condemns you, understand Jesus is on your side. And he pleads your case before the throne of God. And he says, so, is that what the devil tell you? Well, my son paid the price for him. And he shed his blood for you, for her. All through, look at Hebrews 9, verse 25 and 26 again. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. So you see, here's his key. The old high priest in the old covenant could not even enter in until he offered for himself first. He had to offer for himself first. Because even though he was a priest of God, he was still a sinner. But Jesus Christ did never once have to offer for himself first. sins. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at verse 26. For then must he have often have suffered since the foundation of the world. You see, the old priest offered every year. What Paul is saying, and this was just the same message. Jesus would often suffer, but he didn't often suffer. He suffered once and for all. Once in the end of the world have he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, I'm not going to go to it for the sake of time, but you could go to Jeremiah 31 and 33 and Colossians 2, 14. You could go to them scriptures, but I don't want to hold as long tonight. Now, I want you to read you this again. Let me just word this like this again from verse 25 and 26. Nor did he enter into the heavenly sanctuary to offer himself regular again and again, as the high priest refers, the Holy of the Holies, every year with the blood of his own. For then would he have often had to suffer over and over again since the foundation of the world. But as it now is, he once for all, at the consummation of the close of the ages. I want you to get that word, the close of the ages. The close of the ages. Appeared to put away sin and abolish sin by the sacrifice of himself. The expression end of the ages or close of the ages means the two ages met. Understand what I'm saying here this evening. Your Old Testament and your New Testament met. Something happened. Something happened when they met. You come to an end of an age, and you come into the new time and new age. And when you come into the new time and the new age, you would have to come with me to the cross for a moment and think of the words that Jesus said on the cross, "It's finished." Now come back with me to Moses' tabernacle with an earthly priest. And there he stand before the veil, and they say, when Christ cried the words of the cross, "It's finished," the veil right in front of him. I guarantee you, near froze. It ran from the top to the bottom, and remember, it was as thick as a man's hand, woven from top to the bottom, as thick as a man's hand, impossible for any man to turn. But God rent it. While the priest was in there, God rent it, and God was saying, "You don't need this no more. I've opened this way up through my Son, through his precious blood, by the one offering. There'll never have to be another offering." That's why when a man stands before people and he claims that he has been invested with power to do the act of transubstantiation, he is false. And the act of transubstantiation is a man that takes a wafer and claims he has power invested within him to turn it into the literal physical body of Christ. And he claims he's re-offering Jesus Christ again. But according to this Bible, Christ can never, never be re-offered again. He was offered up once for all, and he never needs to be re-offered again. My friend, this evening, Jesus Christ has done enough already to save you for all time and for all eternity. Praise God. The cross was there, the old method, counting ended, and it was a place for the new time, the new dispensation began. The thing that stood between man and God was Adam's transgression. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he made him to be sin for us." There's the center of your poppy. "Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The Bible says we're made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ is your righteousness tonight. It's not your own. You don't work for it. You don't do a program to get it. But Christ is it. And all you do is accept him. Jesus settled the sin question, made it possible for God to legally remit all that we have ever done. God can legally remit them and give us eternal life, making us new creatures in Christ Jesus, because of Christ, what he done. Because of what he done on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 and 18. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ,
He's a new creature. You see, the devil brings people's past up. And he's trying to tell you, if you had done this, this wouldn't have happened. And if you'd have done something else wouldn't have happened. But you know, remember when we were in the wee schoolhouse and there was a chalkboard? And I remember one night I took the old schools used to have it, eh? Guess they don't have it in schools no more, but you know the wee brush, or whatever you call it, the wee duster, that's it, brother. You know, you just take the duster and you rub it all out and it's gone. And Christ rubs out your past. He doesn't cover it with a sheet of paper and somebody else can look into it. God doesn't even show a prophet sins that was in people's lives when the blood of Jesus cleanses them, for he can't. That's the truth, you know. The wee woman, you know, they tell the story of a woman and she prayed for God to forgive her and she was troubled. She talked to God all week about it. And all of these sins. And the story goes that, you know, more or less the Lord said, tell her, don't know what sins you're talking about. For the first time you asked for forgiveness, I cleansed you. I'll tell you, when you come to Christ sincere and you ask him to wash you, he'll cleanse you. And they'll never can be brought up against you ever again. Even if the enemy brings them to your mind, they're gone. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. I heard a great story many years ago of a preacher. And it was back when they had horses and carts. It might have been Sheffy. Now, I'm not sure if it was. It might have been Sheffy. Many ever heard of Sheffy? He was a circuit rider preacher. He'd go ride on a horse, preach all over. But this man robbed him. He robbed him. And he put a muzzle, what do you call them? Muzzle loader. It was a muzzle loader gun, so it's going back a while. I know some boys still collect them. But he pulled up the Sheffy and he put the muzzle loader to him and he robbed him. And he was going away. Sheffy said, one moment, sir. Remember this. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Sometime passed and that man met him again and he was preaching. God saved him and God delivered him. And on the strength of that one scripture that God's servant quoted, the Spirit of God took those words and convicted her over, and he repented and he could see him and he brought the money back. That's what God's able to do. The one sacrifice, the changing of the covenant and the changing of the priesthood had left Israel, you know, almost homeless. They couldn't take it. That's the truth, you know. And you know, the religious world in that day when Jesus came, they didn't even recognize him. And you see, when I took a couple of wee messages on the miracles, they didn't come and pat him on the back and say, oh, we know you're a man come from God. They called him the devil. That's what they called him. The religious world didn't recognize him. But a prostitute received him. A tax collector came to try to see him. They said, he's a wine bibber and a gluttonous. That's what they said about the Lord. But he loved sinners. And he came to save sinners. To leave the gorgeous temple for street preaching. What about that? Imagine God went in and he knocked a whole lot over in their big temples. Kicked it over. Beat them with a whip. With a lovely Lord, yes. Kicked it all over. Oh, I tell you, something, it's against what they thought, wasn't it? Street preaching. The preaching in the grave and cottages. And you know, when the book of Acts started, they didn't go out and say, I'll tell you what, we need to see who can build the finest church. That's not how it worked. Them men went onto the streets. They demonstrated the power of God. They met in wee houses. Anywhere at all, as long as the Lord was with them. It wasn't about the building, it was about Christ. And the Lord was with them. Isn't that wonderful? All sorts
Jesus Christ made of himself, made an end to the slaughtering of animals, the carrying of the blood into the holies of holies. It was an end of the sin covering. Can anybody remember the night Brother Freeborn preached in the wee Tully Leash, Orange Hall? And do you remember the many lorries? He counted up, I don't know how he done it, but he calculated it. Now he's a man that worked with a bank, you all know that. He counted up how many lorries you'd need for the blood sacrifice that Israel used to make. And I don't know how many lorries, you think of a big tanker. And he named with so many tankers that it would take of the slaughtering of animals that Israel done every year was phenomenal to cover their sins. And yet one man's blood, 9 pints of blood. And I say that reverently, I think it's 9, am I right? Say 7 or 9 pints the body, isn't that right? Anybody know? 8. We're in between, so that's all right. 8 pints. And you know, I suppose it's on the size of the man as well. But you know, think of that this evening. Think how powerful the blood of Christ is. How powerful his blood is. All them tankers of blood. And here Christ comes, one man, with one sacrifice. You see, that's why people dismiss it. And then we have people that preach on a limited atonement. I have no time for that, I'm sorry. Because you see, I believe the blood, that, to me, that belittles Christ's work. That's telling me that it's only a few that could get it. Well, you see, the fellow that preached it, does he know who them few are? Or if he does, he's God. That's right. But there's God does know who's going to come. That's true. But that's only God that knows that part. And I'm not going to venture out to try and calculate for God, for I couldn't do it. You think of this here. We talk about the tribulation and the foolish virgin, don't we? And we want to be going in the rapture. We believe that. But the Bible also says there's a number coming out of the tribulation that no man can number. And the washing of the blood of the Lamb. A number that no man can number. And that's only the foolish virgins. Now somebody will say, but the bride will only be one or two. But brothers and sisters, there's been a bride throughout each age. It'll be a mighty army. It'll be a few in our day, a few in our time, what we call a few. But there's a mighty number that no man can number. And the blood of Christ redeemed and paid for every one of them. Hebrews 10:12 says, but this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins, forever. Hebrews 10:12. Mark it in your Bible. It's a key scripture. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And what I've said this before, why do you sit down? When these boys come home from school after a busy day, maybe you have chores to do, but you sit down. If your dad's away out working or your mum and she comes home, isn't it great to get sitting down? How many people say it? I say it. Boys, I'm glad to get sitting down. How many have ever said that? Isn't it great to get sitting down? Sitting down means you finished the work. And when you read about Jesus sitting down, it means the work's finished. He doesn't have to do it again. It's done once and for all. He sat down. He's finished the work for your salvation. He's finished the work for your healing. By his wounds and stripes you're healed. The blood's praying for you. The devil's a liar. Turn to God, break loose of all, and turn yourself to the Lord, and he'll save you, and he'll deliver you. I'm going to close right now. I'm not going to go on anymore, because my time's gone. Precious blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood's like no other blood. It's precious blood. The blood of Christ, I believe it could save 1,000 worlds.
if there was 1,000.
I believe it's not only powerful enough to save this world, but to save all the worlds. And I love what Reinhard Bonnke said. I think one of the brothers might have put a clip of it up or sent me it the other day, but I remember it was Philip sent me it. I quoted a lot. Where they brought him in before the atheist on the television program. And they said, "You're always shouting about the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. And why it hasn't done this and why it hasn't done that." And Reinhard Bonnke told them the story about the soap. You can have a bar of soap in your pocket and still be filthy. You can have a bar of soap in your bathroom and still not be clean. But if you use the bar of soap, it'll wash you. Soap and water cleanses. John Wesley said, cleanliness is next to godliness. That's who said it, John Wesley. And the bar of soap must be used. And the blood of Christ must be used. We must appropriate it. We must use it. We must call upon God for it. And why should it be faith? And it'll cleanse us every time. Let's stand our feet tonight. Praise God. I'm going to ask that every eye be closed, every head bowed this evening. If there's a man or woman listening in tonight and you're not saved, you can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. The word of God says in the book of Joel and the book of Acts, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord in the last days shall be saved. I want to challenge you tonight to call on the name of the Lord. If you're suffering in your body this evening, I'm going to pray again that God will touch you and heal you. And I believe that God can do it. I believe he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his wounds and stripes we are healed. Father, I thank you tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb. And I pray this evening in the name of Jesus Christ you'll give deciding grace to any man or woman or boy or girl that's not saved. Save them, I pray. Help them to call upon your name. Break the power of the devil over that man, over that woman, in the name of Jesus Christ. Break a spirit of infirmity as well in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray you'll heal each one that needs your healing touch. For all those who have mentioned tonight, maybe some that weren't mentioned, lay your hand upon them and make them well, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, bless your people now. As we commit ourselves to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. As Brother Gary comes, God bless each one. And don't forget our service on Thursday night, 7:30. And Brother Samuel will be on as well for Market Hill Monday night, 7:30. Is that right, Samuel? 8:00 this Monday night. This Monday night, 8:00. You're free, tune in. Come along Thursday night if you can, and the Lord bless each one. God bless each one.
Last thing that happened here is love, fast off the ocean, loving kindness.